For those of us who grew up in the southeastern United States, we know a little something about blessing, don't we? That phrase comes up fairly frequently. And sometimes it is a genuine word of blessing. I know when I used to fall and hurt myself, my mother would hold me and comfort me, and she would say, "Bless his little heart." Or sometimes she would say, "Bless his little bones." Go figure, I don't know where she came up with that one. On the other hand, sometimes this blessing was actually a kind of curse in disguise. She is just as homely as a mud fence, bless her heart. That boy is just as dumb as a bag of rocks, bless his little heart. It was almost as if you added bless their heart, it kind of mitigated the criticism. It somehow softened the critique. Now, what you just heard from Jesus was a whole series of blessings. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that they are not like the blessings my mother gave me when she held me, bless his little bones. No, Jesus does that, mind you, but when he does that, it's in a completely different setting. When he breathes on his followers, he's offering them his spirit. He's giving them his blessing. He is not blessing them. He is describing those who are blessed. And the second thing is, what he's doing might appear to be fairly close to that second kind of blessing. Because you see, it offers a very clear critique of the values of the culture surrounding them. Okay, let's take it from the top. Jesus pulls away from the crowd. He gathers around him only his closest companions, and then he sits. Now, in our day and time, if you think you have something important to say, for example, if you're preaching, you stand up. Not so in Jesus' day. For a rabbi, if the rabbi had something important to say, the rabbi would sit down. That meant that what followed was of great importance. So Jesus wasn't so much blessing as he was, as it says in the scripture, teaching. He's teaching his disciples what it looks like when you live in the kingdom of heaven. Now, for Jesus, the kingdom of heaven was not some place you went when you died some years from now. The kingdom of heaven was what God was doing right here and now at this time. And so Jesus starts with this series of blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, it's only blessed are the poor. Did Matthew soften it? I don't think so. I think he broadened it. You see, the poor, or the poor in spirit, are people who have to depend upon God for everything. The poor because they don't have anybody else to depend on. The poor don't have highly paid lobbyists to look after their interests. The poor don't have lots of money to contribute to campaigns. They don't have anybody but God to depend on. But then there are those who are poor in spirit who, even though they may have material things, choose to be completely dependent upon God. I think Matthew was broadening that category to include them. Blessed are those who mourn. I know many of you have mourned, perhaps all of you at one time or another. Did you feel blessed? Most people don't. But then he follows it with, you shall be comforted. You won't mourn by yourself. Those of you who have mourned within a congregation, didn't you feel the love surround you and the people gather around you to support you? And that's not all. Even if you don't have the people, God is there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here again, Luke says, the hungry. He just cuts it off there. But you see, righteousness is not just doing good or feeling good about what we're doing. Righteousness is having a right relationship with God and our neighbor. It's what John Wesley called social holiness. We tend to divide our prayer life and our life of activism for justice. Wesley didn't do that, and neither did Jesus. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you go out and try to influence the world in a way that will make it different, more loving. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Go tell that to somebody who's running for public office. Yeah, just be meek. You'll inherit the earth. They won't believe you. We don't believe that, do we? No, we think you need to be appropriately assertive. At least, maybe even a little bit aggressive. Get your point across. I think what Jesus was talking about here is that some of the people who make the greatest changes in the world are not those who have gotten to their position through assertiveness and aggressiveness. I mean, look at what's happening in Washington right now. But they are those people who day by day in a humble way go about doing what God has called them to do, and they make a difference in the lives of people that lasts the rest of their lives and helps them make a difference in the lives of others. The meek and the life they live is a criticism of those of us who think we get by through aggression. If you live this kind of life, Jesus says, expect trouble. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. If you want a life filled with conflict, go be a peacemaker. I'll guarantee you, you are constantly in the middle between warring factions, trying to reconcile them, and you are in the middle of conflict constantly. If we take seriously what St. Paul said, God was in Christ reconciling the world to God's self and giving us the ministry of reconciliation. If you're going to be a peacemaker, both sides are going to be mad at you. Jesus recognized that. So he added that if you live this kind of life, expect persecution. Expect it because that's what people did to the prophets. When the prophets lived a life that offered a clear critique of the world around them and the values around them, people didn't like them very much. Kings didn't like them very much. People in power didn't much care for what they had to say. And then Jesus narrows it to say, you're blessed when you're persecuted because you're doing what I told you to do. Expect it, but when you do that, you will be blessed because you will be a part of what God is doing in the world, not just what a bunch of human beings are doing in the world. Now, in various translations, that word blessed is handled different ways. Now, bless or blessed is our traditional translation, but some of the modern translations use happy. A number of years ago, a friend and for many years member of this conference, Elliot Wright, wrote a book called Holy Company. He translated the Beatitudes, holy are they. Not blessed, holy. And under each category, he gave the life story of a number of different people whose lives exhibited that particular characteristic that Jesus was talking about. I think Eliot got it right. This is not blessing in the sense that either my mother used it or we use it to criticize others. Happy is too weak a word. Holy is a strong word. Now, we don't use it much because it gets associated with holier than thou. To be holy is to reflect the loving light of Christ in the world. That's what we say we're supposed to be doing, isn't it? That's what holy is. And Jesus is giving his closest companions a glimpse of what it looks like if you're going to be holy. All of those characteristics listed in the Beatitudes are aspects of doing what God wants us to do in the world and reflecting the love of Christ in the world. What he's doing, he's giving a description of a servant. Now, during Lent, we talk about service, right? We've been going through all the membership vows, and during Lent, we're talking about service. Jesus says, you want to be great? Be a servant. Want to be greatest of all? Be the servant of all. Here, he's giving a clear description of how servants behave. Servants are expected to be meek, not to assert themselves, sometimes even invisible. Servants are expected to want the right relationship. Those who wait on table, and when something goes wrong, who gets yelled at if it goes wrong between the kitchen and the table? It's the servant, right? Jesus, I think, is giving a description of himself and of those who would choose to follow him. Us, in other words. He's not talking about other people, what they've done or what they might do. He's talking about us, what we do, what we can do, who we can be. In a few minutes, you're going to come to the table and you're going to be served. And those of us who will be up here serving you are hoping that in some small way we are embodying what Jesus talked about. Holy are those who are poor in spirit. Holy are those who mourn. Holy are those who hunger and thirst for those right relationships with God and with our neighbor. Holy are those who serve. Now, every week during this time, we focus on a particular way of serving. And today, and this Wednesday, we have representatives from Project Transformation here with us. Now, Project Transformation is fairly new to Tennessee, but it's not new to the United Methodist Church. But last summer, it began here, and it allows young adults and others of us to walk into places we might never go otherwise. Underserved areas, churches, neighborhoods, and to serve there. What Project Transformation does for those who take part is to help cultivate those very characteristics Jesus was talking about in the Beatitudes, to form us and shape us into that kind of person, that kind of servant. If you want to know more, representatives will be out here after the service. Go talk to them. They'll be here Wednesday night as well. Come listen to what they have to say. I know there are members of this congregation who thought they were just volunteering to help. And through Project Transformation, their lives were transformed. And they came and they told me about it. That's what Jesus is talking about. We're not just called to be blessed. Bless our little hearts. We're called to be holy. And I believe with God's help and a willingness to serve, we can be. Thanks be to God.